On Point is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston. The program is made possible by your financial support. Please pledge online at WBUR.org.
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Once again, it's all on the line today for immigration reform. The so-called Grand Compromise was alive, then near dead. This week, it came back. Here's Senator Edward Kennedy, Sunday on ABC.
This is a battle that's worth making because it is in our national interest. We cannot afford to fail. The problem is just going to get worse if we do nothing at all. If we get this legislation and it's good legislation passed, then we can strengthen it. Then we can improve it.
But the pushback is still strong at its head. Alabama's Senator Jeff Sessions.
How can we be proud of passing a bill that's not going to reduce illegal immigration? The promoters of the legislation say it will do all those things. But that's what I'm telling you. When you get down and read it, it's not going to work.
Today, another make-or-break day for the immigration package. This hour, On Point, we'll look at the wild fight around immigration on the home stretch in the Senate. We'll hear in a few minutes from pro and con legislators in Washington. But first, joining me is Nicole Gouette, who's following the great immigration debate for the Los Angeles Times. Nicole, thank you very much for being with us.
Hi, Tom.
So it is literally all hanging on a vote that is coming this morning. What's up?
Well, at about 10:50, the senators will file into the chamber, and they will vote whether to move to a final vote on the immigration bill or not. And it really does all hang on what happens this morning. If the bill fails, the prospects for immigration reform this year are unlikely, very uncertain. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has made clear to the White House and to the Senate that she's not likely to take up immigration unless the Senate can pass something.
And if they can't get the debate closed, that won't happen. This has been a week about numbers. It's all about the numbers again today. What, on Tuesday, it was 64 to 35 to bring a revised version of the bill back to the Senate floor after it was let go 3 weeks ago. So what do the numbers look like today, Nicole?
Well, on the Senate floor, the lawmakers who put the bill together have been getting up to plead with their fellow lawmakers to support the bill in this vote. And Senator John Kyle from Arizona, who's been the lead Republican architect, got up and said that it is going to be very, very close. Most people here privately seem to think it will not pass. But everyone acknowledges that the margins are going to be, you know, it will be a handful of people who could make the difference.
They need 60 votes to invoke cloture, and there's so much riding on this in the lives of many, many millions of people, and really in the life of the whole country. Who appear to be the swing votes? Who's in play at this point? Who made the difference on Tuesday? Who might not be there for this today?
Well, there were a couple of Democrats who, in the June 7th vote, when the bill seemed to have died, voted against the bill. These were people like Democratic Senator Barbara Boxer of California, and a few of them shifted over to reopen debate, but they made very clear that they weren't entirely convinced the bill was the right thing, that they were willing to restart discussions, but it was not an indication of their support for the bill. So when the bill sort of rose phoenix-like again a few days ago on that 64 vote with on that vote with the support of 64 senators, mm-hmm. It wasn't a real indication of how much support it has on the floor. The question is, what kind of responsibility the lawmakers feel if they do nothing? Because in the Senate, there is no alternative, and there's nothing down the road.
Let's look at who stands where then within the parties. First, among Republicans. You had Senator Domenici of New Mexico, Christopher Bond, Missouri, Richard Byrd, North Carolina. All those now expected, I'm reading today, to oppose cloture, that is, to let immigration die, and maybe Senator Judd Gregg of New Hampshire as well?
Perhaps, yeah. Also, John Sununu of New Hampshire. I mean, they have been sitting on the fence, and the Republican architects of the bill have been trying very hard to woo them by adding amendments to the bill that would bolster border security, worksite enforcement, that would crack down even harder on illegal immigrants. But because of procedural delays by a small core of Republicans, including Jeff Sessions, who you mentioned earlier, mm-hmm. they couldn't actually get to those amendments yesterday. They couldn't add them to the bill. And so the guarantees, the reassurances that the bill's backers were hoping to offer conservatives like Greg and so on aren't there. And so they basically have to go to these senators and ask them to back the bill on faith, on promises that they'll add these things later if the bill stays alive.
Which we heard Senator Kennedy alluding to earlier there. What about on the Democratic side? Ben Nelson of Nebraska, Jim Webb of Virginia, maybe Robert Menendez of New Jersey, Jeff Bingaman of New Mexico, uncertain in their support here. What's holding them back?
You know, the Democrats are a key factor, and different issues are holding them back. Robert Menendez of New Jersey has made a very strong push to alter the proposed point system in the bill, which would shift weight in future immigration towards the criteria of skills and education over family ties, on which most immigration is now based. He wanted to give immigrants coming in who would be judged on, you know, their work experience and their skills. He wanted also them to have the opportunity to get a few points if they had family ties in the states. That was strongly resisted by the Republicans, who want to end what they call chain migration, family-based migration.
But he knows that this element, that is raising the importance of skills in deciding who comes into this country, was a key part of the so-called grand compromise, right? But he wasn't happy with that.
He does, but he argues that his change is not that large. He would, out of 100 points for skills and education, he was arguing that he wants to add just 10 for family, and that is not, in his eyes, a make-or-break change. He also scoffs at the idea that this grand bargain is inviolable, that, you know, if you tweak it even a little, the whole thing will fall apart. He has not accepted that argument at all. Other Democrats have different concerns. Byron Dorgan of North Dakota has been very concerned about the bill's impact, potential impact on low-wage American workers, and that's been a concern of Boxer of California as well. Other Democrats, most of them freshmen, like Claire McCaskill of Missouri and John Tester of Montana, their concern has been more about border security, and they've argued that if the administration would just enforce existing laws, a lot of the border security concerns could be taken care of, and there's no need to tackle such a huge and complicated bill now. The argument of your Senator Kennedy is that, of course, it has to be done as a package. You can't just tackle one side of this problem, or it won't work.
A lot of money has been added, and everyone's looking at it this week, $4.4 billion added to improve border security. But that has not been enough to address the concerns of those who are worried about the volume of people actually coming across the border?
Well, I spoke to Senator Saxby Chambliss. He's a Georgia Republican who helped write the bill along with another Georgia senator, and then decided that he couldn't support it. And one of the things he had asked for was that the administration, that President Bush request an emergency supplemental bill to fund border security, and the senators and the White House responded by adding this $4.4 billion to the actual bill. He said yesterday that wasn't quite good enough. It wasn't the amount so much as the fact that, as it's written in the bill, he says, there's no guarantee it will all be spent on border security. That bothered him. He also said that his constituents just don't believe, even if the money is there, that the administration will actually go ahead and use it and enforce the laws. And I think ultimately he decided that he had to listen to their concerns.
Nicole, if then they don't get the vote to end debate and move toward a vote on this, that's it? It's dead in the Senate? We kind of heard that before, but this time for real?
Well, you know, I don't ever want to say never. We all thought it was dead a few weeks ago, and Senator Kennedy is a very determined man. This is very important. It is an issue of national security. People lose sight of that in all the emotion around the debate. And President Bush wants this very badly. This is really his sole chance for a significant domestic policy achievement. So who knows? Something could happen, but it would be a real uphill struggle to resurrect it if it fails this morning.
And the amendments that have gone down that have not passed this week, you know, the characterization of this as amnesty has been a very potent element here. There's been a lot of talk this week about making illegal immigrants, undocumented workers, go back to their home countries for longer periods of time before they would come in, but those have not passed. So is the amnesty charge still standing?
It is, and honestly, Tom, I don't think anything the bill's writers could do would deflate that charge. I think people will just use the word as long as illegal immigrants currently in the country are allowed to stay. I mean, if you read the bill, it's just remarkable the number of fines, of fees, of hurdles they have to jump through even after they gain citizenship. There are some measures that would deprive them of Social Security benefits that they earned while illegal. I mean, if the bill passed, if these people actually were able to gain legal status, they would pay until their dying day. Even so, there are a core group of people opposed to the bill in the Senate and out in America for whom it would still always be amnesty.
Nicole, thank you very much for being with us. The Senate is all over this at this hour. We have two congressmen with us right now looking on from across Capitol Hill at exactly what is going on the Senate side. If it passes there, it comes to them. If it does not, of course, it does not. We have with us Representative Steve King, Republican from Iowa, representing the 5th Congressional District, Sioux City, and more. Steve King, Congressman, thank you very much for being with us today.
Well, thank you. I'm very glad to be with you, Tom.
And from Illinois, we are joined from Illinois' 4th Congressional District by Luis Gutierrez in Oak Park outside Chicago there, member of the House Subcommittee on Immigration, Citizenship, Refugees, Border Security, and International Law. He was the first Latino to be elected to Congress from the Midwest, 7th term. Congressman Luis Gutierrez, thank you very much for joining us.
Pleasure being with you, Tom.
You support this immigration package. You're watching. I'm sure everybody is on the House right at this hour. What do you see coming? Is it finished? Has it failed?
Well, I think I don't know. We've been speaking to the senators just before coming on the program, and immediately after, I'll be heading straight over to the Senate to continue to engage my Senate colleagues in conversation and dialogue about the importance of getting it done. And having the Senate act is crucial so that the House of Representatives can begin its work. When we first began, we said to ourselves, working with President Bush, we said, where do we begin? Since the Senate had already passed the Comprehensive Immigration Reform Package last year, we thought that would be the easier of the two places to begin, so that once they have finished their work, we can take up the measures. In the House, we've had 15 hearings. We have volume of information, and we're ready to act and take a bill straight to the House Judiciary Subcommittee, where Mr. King is the ranking member, and take it through the full committee and onto the floor and get it done.
So you're ready to do it, Stephen King. Steve King, I know you are not. You're looking across at the Senate as well at this hour. What's your read? There were 64 votes to bring it back for debate and consideration earlier this week. What about today?
I'm with Luis on this in not being able to predict the Senate. They are a relatively unpredictable body. I'm inclined to try to intercept Mr. Gutierrez on his way over to the Senate to lobby them in an effort to
tackle him in the rotunda there.
just come in there like a linebacker, Luis. but I will seek to kill this at every step of the way, and I have done so for some time, and I'll continue in the central reasons we know. And maybe we could just get this part out of the way, though. And that is, I think maybe my friend from Illinois, my neighboring Midwesterner, could agree that this is a Senate amnesty bill, and that if we had just gotten that debate out of the way 2 or 3 years ago, we could have had a more successful debate on the policy itself that's contained in the bill in the Senate.
What is that? I'll put it to Congressman Gutierrez, but when you say an amnesty bill, John McCain says, well, we've got de facto amnesty if we don't act, because we've got 12 million undocumented workers here right now. So isn't it amnesty almost either way, Congressman?
Well, Tom, that's bizarre to say that we have de facto amnesty, and if you don't vote for amnesty, you're going to have amnesty, but if you do vote for amnesty, you won't have amnesty. I mean, what we really know is that the administration has not enforced the law. There's nothing Congress can do to force the administration to enforce the law. And there's no one seriously in America that thinks that this administration will enforce current immigration law or that a future administration will enforce the Senate version or a Congress version of future immigration law. You've got to prove that first before you can make it more complicated.
Luis Gutierrez, Congressman, is this the word that's brought it all down, amnesty and that characterization?
Well, let me just say, we've listened to my friend Steve speak to the issue. The fact is that the political will and the requisite resources to deport 12 million people does not exist. He's just stated it more eloquently than I could ever state it. That is the reality that we live. They're here among us. We need to do something about bringing them out of the shadows and into the light of day, both for national security and also for the very basic purpose of let's be fair about it. If we're not going to deport them, and let me just add, the Bush administration has been more aggressive than any other administration in the last 20 years in interior enforcement. 160,000 people have been taken from their homes and their workplaces and the streets of this nation this year alone. But even if you continued at 160,000 people, it would take 65 years in order to, quote-unquote, rid the country of all of the undocumented workers, while they function, their function within our economy is critical and essential. So I think as Americans, the right thing to do, if you're not going to deport them, stop keeping them in this exploitive state that they live in, bring them out and allow them to earn. And where Steve and I disagree is, how could it be amnesty when they're going to pay thousands of dollars in fines, they're going to the back of the line, they must learn English, they must take civics classes, they have to be fingerprinted and make sure that they have never violated any felony here in the country, and they have to show during that period of time, which extends in the Senate version 9 years. And let me just add very, very quickly, look, they have to continue to pay payroll taxes, state, county, sales taxes, property taxes, every tax, but will be disallowed from having any government benefits that those taxes provide the basis for. I think that should not be called amnesty. I think that should be called something that they say, look, they're working. They're showing themselves to be good people. They are good people. Let's give them the opportunity to come. And last, I just want to say, you know, every time we speak about them, we speak about them as though they're some strange alien force. Well, in communities like mine, and in communities even in Iowa, these are the same people that sit in the same pews with everyone else. They shop at the same centers. Their kids go to the same school. They're an integral part. They're interwoven into the very fabric of our neighborhoods, our economy, our society. It's time we know who they are. We see them each and every day. Let's be the best America can be and bring them and let them earn it. They're going to pay a heavy price for having violated the law. But in the end, we're going to allow them to earn their legalization, not an amnesty, an earned legalization.
Congressman King, if this doesn't pass, and House Republicans, I'm sure you're part of this, already on Tuesday, of course, passed a resolution, Republicans disapproving of this immigration bill, 114-23. But if this grand compromise, as it's being called, doesn't get through, and you've still got 12 million people sitting there, and maybe more coming in, what do you do about it?
Well, Nancy Pelosi said it's going to take 70 Republican votes before she'll bring any immigration bill to the floor. So there's a ways to go with those 23 that just opposed the resolution, and some for just procedural reasons. One thing we know is no one in this country is talking about deporting 12 million people. What we do know, though, statistically and historically, is back during the Eisenhower administration, when there was an effort to actually deport people that were in the country illegally, for everyone deported, approximately 10 went back home willingly because they understood that the law would be enforced. And so the extrapolation of the 160,000, which I don't know where that number comes from, to all of the years that it would take, that presumes that no one would go home willingly. In fact, some go home willingly just because they're neighbors of those who go unwillingly.
So your answer is crack down, deport a whole bunch, and hope that a whole bunch more follow them out?
No, I can give you that. I guess the concise answer is this. First, because of all of the forces at the border, including terrorism and illegal drugs, we need to put a physical barrier at the border that forces all traffic through the ports of entry. Second one is employer enforcement, shut down and shut off the jobs magnet. And I have a bill that does a lot of that. It ends federal deductibility for wages and benefits paid to illegals. So let's say IRS enforce. It's called the New IDEA Act. And the third thing is to end automatic citizenship the anchor babies that amount to $350,000 a year. We do those three things and enforce current law. We will see that the 12 million will shrink down to the hardcore people that would stay here. During that period of time, we can debate about what to do with the people that are not a strange alien force, but are God's children created in His image, just like Luis and I are.
That $4.4 billion that's been put up for border security to get things going again this week, not good enough for you? You suggested you might need an electric fence on the Mexican border. Really?
Well, you know, the electric fence is because there would be a warning signal if someone tried to breach it. Yeah, you would get the signal on where to turn your cameras and where to turn your help to do so. And that $4.4 billion represents a little bit more than half of what we're spending to defend that southern border now. We're spending $4 million a mile to hire Border Patrol agents and depreciate Humvees, and we're getting maybe a 25% efficiency. I think we can raise that efficiency level up dramatically into the 90th percentile. And if you look over at Israel, they will argue that they're to the 100th percentile in the fence that they built to protect themselves. And I don't like sending this message to Mexico, but I think it says a lot more about Mexico than it does the United States, in that it's no way to run a country to take the vitality of your nation and push it north and ask them to send money back south.
Congressman Steve King, Luis Gutierrez, let me take a couple of calls here. Tom is calling from South Burlington, Vermont. Tom, you're on the air with two congressmen. You hear what they're saying. What's your view?
Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, enormously complex issue with multiple parts, but, you know, specifically, the fence idea, the border security, as long as the economic incentive exists for people to come to the United States, find work, and send money back, it's sort of like the war on drugs. Building a fence is an enormously expensive waste of time. It will continue to flow until the economic situation equalizes.
So what should be done?
Well, I think that if you hope to stem or slow or stop the flow of immigrants over time, if that's the objective, which is a whole other debate, then you really have to address it from economic policy. You have to work with the Mexican government to make longer-term opportunities normalized between the two countries.
Tom, there's a lot to it, but let us pick up just that point, the fence and the economic scenario here. Luis Gutierrez, what's to say that even with this bill, the flow doesn't just keep coming? Our caller says, you know, strong economy here, weak there, and you're going to have more and more.
Let me just make a couple of comments. Number one, as has been clearly stated, the political will, the resources to deport 12 million people has been established. So let's fingerprint them. Let's tax them. Let's know who they are. Let's regularize their status so that we can bring them out of the shadows, because that's the only alternative that we truly have if we're not going to deport them, number one. Number two, our economy, Tom, creates 400,000 low-skill, low-wage jobs each and every year as our society continues to create people who are better educated, better skilled. We're going to need those kinds of workers.
Does that mean keep the flow coming from Mexico?
I try not to interrupt people.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
I try because I think it's great. Look, secondly, they're essential. They're 5% of the workforce. Our unemployment is low. Our productivity is high for those who are participating in our workforce. Can you imagine losing their vital, necessary labor? And number two, think about it a moment. There are 144 million people in the American workforce today, 144 million Americans. 79 million of them are baby boomers. In 20 years from now, the youngest baby boomer will be 63 years old. That means during the next 20 years, we will lose every year millions and millions of people to our workforce, which need to be replaced. Immigration is critical to our economy and to the security of the country, the United States of America.
I don't want to interrupt, but you're raising a question. You're raising a question here that I think people want to know the answer. Are you saying, then, keep the big flow coming as it has come for the last 20 years?
Here's what I say. Make sure that we have a flow appropriate. I don't want any American to be denied a job because a foreigner took it. And that's the kind of system that we have today because it's unregulated. I say our economy needs new workers. I'm not saying that. The ag people will tell you, the farmers will tell you that. There are businesses across this country in certain sectors of our economy, and there and only there where we need their workers, we should invite them to do that work. But in the meantime, the ones that are already here are obviously already integrated into the fabric of our American society. Let's fingerprint them. I want to know which the criminals are, the gangbangers, the drug dealers. We can get rid of them. But to simply leave them among us does not make us any more secure, either economically or from a physical point of view.
Let me take a call from Leonina in Somerville, Massachusetts. Leonina, you're on the air with Congressman Steve King and Luis Gutierrez.
Yes. It's a pleasure to be in this program. I appreciate it. And my point is, I think that if you have everybody who is here in the country listed and checked upon, you'll be freed from a lot of people who are not welcomed here. On the other hand, you'll have people like me. I'm here for 21 years, and I am a former lawyer and teacher in my country, Brazil, and I actually have passed the teacher certification in Massachusetts. Teacher certification for bilingual school teacher, and
are you legal, Leonina? Do you have legal status here or not?
No. And my daughter was in nursing school, but there's a lot of problems for her because she was accepted to several schools, but she cannot go ahead with her course.
Right. She doesn't have the right status. Our time is short. Let me put it to Steve King, Congressman King. Here's a teacher. Her daughter's a nurse. They're in this country. They're not legal, but there they are. We need teachers and nurses. They're ready to work. What do you say?
Well, I listen to that. The image of one of my trips down south and to Brazil comes to mind. In Sao Paulo, for example, and don't leave the compound was the advice we got from the U.S. Council. There are 10,000 murders a year in this city alone.
What are you saying? Leonina's a murderer?
What I'm saying is the rule of law has broken down in Brazil, and there was a great big reason to come here. And I don't know that that was Leonina's reason, but I know that if we destroy the rule of law over in the Senate, and if we don't uphold it here in this country, we will diminish the most important pillar of American exceptionalism, the rule of law. And so I don't have an answer for her particular case, because I think I heard her say she's here illegally. But I will say this, that there's an accumulated list of things that were brought up by my colleague, and that would be, how could we imagine getting along without the illegal labor? Well,
I didn't say that. I said we should regularize that labor. We should organize that.
I hear you, Louise. But you're saying that you said we cannot. Can you imagine getting along without that illegal labor? And you didn't say illegal, but that was the thrust of your point.
Yep.
And so I need to answer that point, and that is the illegal labor in America represents someplace between 4.7 and 4.9% of the workforce. I agree with your number of 144 million in the workforce, but those people that are working age, and that's the ages 16 to 74, and we pay unemployment well above 74, amount to 69 million. There are 6.9 million working illegals, 69 million not in the workforce. The unemployment rate is not the only factor. It's what's the available workforce? 69 million. So out of that, we would just simply have to hire 1 out of 10 to replace all the illegals. And by the way, the illegal labor is only doing 2.2% of the GDP.
And the debate goes on. Congressman Steve King of Iowa and Luis Gutierrez of Illinois, I know I have to let each of you go. Thanks to each of you, Congressman Gutierrez and King. Thanks for being here. We're talking this hour about immigration reform in its do-or-die home stretch battle in the Senate today, looking at the politics and policy battles right down to the wire here. I'm joined now from Washington by Vanessa Cardenas. She's with the Center for American Progress. They've been working hard to push for the grand compromise that's been lofted up on Capitol Hill in the Senate on the line at this very hour. Vanessa Cardenas, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you, Tom. Thanks for having me.
What's your read as things stand right now? I mean, I know it's too close to call, but, we're hearing last night Senator Pete Domenici saying this bill is toast. Robert Menendez of New Jersey saying, nip and tuck, can't call it. Can this thing still get through?
I hope so, Tom. I really do, because I think it's the right thing for our country, and it's really troubling for me to hear elected officials like Representative King, who say that they are doing everything they can to kill this bill. You know, we have 12 million people among us today, and people are suffering. And it's not just about them. It's not just about the immigrant community. It's about our nation, about having laws that are unrealistic, that are unenforceable, about having laws that are not in line with what we need as a country. And it's just really troubling. And let me just also say this, that the vision that Mr. King outlined, a country with fences, a country where you call babies anchor babies, a vision where, you know, you're just going to go after people and make their lives so miserable that they're going to try to leave this country. It's really sad because I'm an immigrant, and I came to this country, and I love this country because this country is about opportunity. This country is about intelligent people trying to make a great country. This country is about hardworking people, and the vision that he outlines is not the kind of America that I think most Americans want to live in.
But, of course, it's not just him. There's a lot of opposition to this in the Senate and on Capitol Hill and around the country. What have you learned from this debate? What have you learned? We see you support it. We hear that, and we hear the basic reason why, yet there's a political reality there, and we're looking at numbers today. What have you learned in this debate about what it's going to take to finally, whether it's this week or Lord knows when, to finally address this? What have we learned in this whole process?
What it's going to take, it's for the silent majority, because poll after poll shows that most Americans support a legal way for the undocumented, you know, to be here, to be recognized, and to be fully accepted into society, you know. And most polls that I have seen, and I'm sure you have seen, show that 60%, 70%, they agree with that. They know that we need enforcement, but they also know that we need to have a rational legal system for the undocumented to come out of the shadows. So I think what's going to take is for that silent majority to speak up. Right now, what we're hearing is just the minority that are very loud, that are very angry, and that are just, you know, using the word amnesty. And I think what Representative King said, it's also telling that for them, nothing is going to be enough. And it's like Nicole said earlier in her report, you know, there are many things in this bill right now that are really hard for the immigrant community. And as I think she used the quote, they're going to pay until their dying day for having crossed the border. But that's not enough. It's not enough for the opposition, and it's never going to be enough. And I think Americans need to realize that.
We'll turn to our callers, but first here's Senator Kay Bailey Hutchinson saying she'll vote against the motion to proceed because the proposal is ultimately, that word again, amnesty.
If you can come to this country, stay, never have to go home, and go into the process of legalization and going into our Social Security program, which is allowed in the underlying bill, that is amnesty.
Texas Senator Kay Bailey Hutchinson there. Let's turn to the phones. Mary Lee is calling from Stanford, Connecticut. Mary Lee, what do you see?
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I just wanted to point out that the New York Times today had an article about immigration and the threats, you know, really racist people calling senators and threatening them about this whole immigration bill. And I was just wondering about the issue of racism and, you know, why this isn't more debated as far as immigration is concerned. You know, you've got the right, the far right, really coming down on you know, the immigrants that are coming into this country and what color they are.
So you don't buy the arguments that it's about border security, that it's about law, that it's about you know, order in this country. Are you seeing racism?
I am seeing racism. I saw this article in the New York Times. All the threats. Did you read the article?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
All the threats that these senators are getting, and some of the threats were serious enough that they notified the police. And you just think, well, wait a minute, what does our country stand for? Our country stands for, you know, freedom of speech and freedom of religion and you know, freedom for you know, people of different colors and whatnot to, you know, to work and be happy in our society. And I just think that you do have racist people involved, you know, who care more about their own interests and not, you know, the whole issue in itself.
This goes
to sense?
Yeah, well, it goes to the identity issue, and there's a lot of tension around that, and maybe race-based. I'll go to Vanessa Cardenas with that, Mary Lee, and thanks. Let's first hear a little bit from Alabama's Jeff Sessions again. Of course, that's not the terms in which it's formally put. Here he is on ABC's This Week with George Stephanopoulos saying, you know, he's against giving social services and other benefits to illegal immigrants.
But we do not need to create a system in which people who come to our country gain every single benefit that we give to lawful entrants into our country. We must never do that again.
Vanessa Cardenas, there's Senator Sessions of Alabama. He says the problem here is that we've gotten outside the framework of the law, and we just can't live that way. Mary Lee looks on, reads some of the threats that have been made, the pretty tough comments, and says it looks like race to her, racism. What do you say?
Well, I really hope that, you know, I have to admit, sometimes the things that they say, you really start thinking, my God, is this senator, is the representative really hearing what he's saying? Because it does have some connotations to it. But I think the bottom line is that, you know, we're talking about people here. You know, they like to label the undocumented, you know, illegal alien, and pretty much dehumanize them. These are people, and they're here. And they're everywhere. They are, you know, they're in the construction industry, in the hotels, they're in our offices, they take care of our children, their kids go to our high schools. I mean, they are part of our society. And some of these elected officials maybe want to, you know, keep all these kids without health care. Maybe they want to deny women, pregnant women, the access to medical care. But I don't think that's a solution. I mean, that is just as many, especially when we're talking about benefits, as many hospitals and medical groups have said, we want to make sure that everybody's well.
But Mary Lee's saying it's not even about the specifics. Maybe behind all of that, there is another concern, prejudice, about the color of the country and whether it's changing because of immigration in a way that opponents don't like.
And maybe, you know, I like to think that it's not, but from what it sounds sometimes, it really makes you think, because this is all about Mexican immigrants, and people don't realize that it's not just about Mexicans. There are a lot of other immigrants there. There are Irish immigrants that are lobbying for immigration reform. There are a lot of Asian communities that are lobbying for immigration reform. So I think what we need to do is we need to focus on what is right for our country, what we need to do to fix our immigration system, and stop attacking different groups and trying to focus on being afraid. I think fear takes a big place in this debate, and fear is not going to take us anywhere. We need to make sure that we have a rational immigration system for our country, because it's in the best interest of our country.
Of course, it's not typically put directly in terms of race. Here's Republican Congressman Mark Sauter of Indiana saying at a news conference this week that this bill is destined to fail in the Senate and in the House if it comes over.
Why is the underlying bill have amnesty in it when we're looking at least at 5 to 7 years to be able to begin to implement an enforcement procedure? That's why the fundamental bill has no credibility. And basically what we're saying today is it's dead on arrival in the House.
Opponent, Congressman Mark Sauter of Indiana there. Let's go to a caller in Chicago. Leon in Chicago, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. I am the immigrant that she's talking about. I am from Bosnia. I came over here 7 years ago.
Okay.
I came legal way. And I am against this bill, and it's amnesty. Let's call it how it is. And they say they're going to pay the fine. Everything is going to be fine. Because I know people from my country that will pay even more just to come over here, and they're well more educated than they are. So I'm against this bill.
So you came from Bosnia legally, you say. How did you come? How did you apply for U.S. citizenship?
Well, it was war in my country, and I'm Serbian. And to come over here, you have to apply, and there are certain procedures that you have to go through. And one of them is, are you being wounded in the war? Are your parents are maybe like my mom is Muslim, and my father is Serbian. And there's certain more things. Then you have to go through background check. You have to go through medical checks.
So you came kind of as a war refugee, Leon.
Yes.
But when you look at, let's say, Mexicans who may be seeking refuge from poverty, let's say, you don't see them in the same in the same light you see yourself?
No, I do see them, but they are they didn't obey the law, and it's not our problem if it's bad over there. It's Mexicans that Mexican government who should make their life better, just like the United States tried to make for American people.
Vanessa Cardenas, what do you say to Leon, refugee Leon in Chicago?
I think he's a very lucky person because he had the opportunity to apply and come to this country legally. I think that when you think about Mexican immigrants or other immigrants, they want to have that opportunity as well. They want to come to this country legally. But the point is that there's no legal way for them to come. We don't have enough visas for low-wage workers, and that is the main problem. And also, it's what you pointed out, Mr. Leon Gara, it sounds like he was a refugee, so his process was different. And I just want to say that, if you ask undocumented immigrants right now, they don't want to be undocumented. They don't want to break the law. But they face a very dire situation back in their countries. And they're people like you and I. We all want to succeed in our lives. We all want to look for opportunity. And that's what they're doing. Now, we as a country need to have rational laws so that people can come to the U.S. legally, because people are going to still come. And
that's a fact. But Leon came legally already. Most of these 12 million did not. Is that a fundamental distinction that matters to you, isn't it?
Of course it matters. But my point is that he had a way of coming to the U.S. legally. Most of the undocumented don't have a way to come to the U.S. legally because we don't have enough visas for those workers. And that's the bottom line. And the other thing I want to say is that, we can be in denial about this, but immigration is happening all over the world. People are looking for opportunity. They are moving. And maybe, we want to take the approach that Mr. Leon says, that it's not our problem. It is our problem, and we have to deal with it. We can't just think that just because, we are well and the world is not well, that they're just going to stay in their countries. That's unrealistic, and that's just not a solution.
Leon, thanks for your call. Let's go to Cambridge, Massachusetts, and Irene. Irene, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I'm a liberal Democrat who happens to be opposed to the bill. My thinking is that the bill probably will fail. And if it does, I think ultimately we're going to come around to the idea that we're going to need a national identification card based on something like retinal identification, which can't be falsified. And then I think, and that would be expensive, but a lot cheaper than the wall, frankly. But at that point, when you have a national ID and you can't get a driver's license, or you can't enroll your children in school, or you can't go to the hospital without one, you don't need to deport people. People go home because they need the support of their families. We all need that.
So bring on the national ID, you say, but what's your fundamental source of opposition to this package, Irene? Why?
I think my concern is that because there are no controls, you have no controls about the kind of people coming in. Are they diseased? Some of them undoubtedly are. We have a dreadful tuberculosis in the world that can come in. If people are checked on the way in, at least we have some safeguards.
So you're going with kind of Lou Dobbs leprosy warning here. They'll bring illness to us.
They might bring illness. They might bring terrorism. They might bring simply too many unskilled relatives along with them, lots of children who will grow up and not work.
But that's exactly why we need immigration reform. So we know who's here, we check them, and then we have a rational. And believe me, I'm not saying that these people are sick or anything like that, but it's just, we need to know who's here.
Vanessa, one second. Irene, final thought?
A final thought. I agree we need an immigration reform, but I'd love to see the visa process speeded up and really made effective. I would love to see that put into place so that immigrants can come in the numbers that they're needed and be processed properly. And I'm not against immigrants. That's the last thing I'm against. But I'm really against the bill as it stands now, the years it would take to put it into place, the kind of silly fines, which I think are stupid.
Irene, we've got it, and our time is short. Vanessa, you hear there, and this time from Irene, who says, hey, I'm a liberal Democrat, this kind of law and order critique here of the current package. Of course, 12 million already inside the country.
Exactly. And, and I think Democrats who are listening to this debate, or the progressives that are listening to this debate, need to understand that this bill is, it's not perfect. I mean, the Center for American Progress does not support the bill in what it, a lot of the things that it has are very problematic, and that's why you have a lot of groups that are worried about it. However, this is our only chance in many years to actually have a rational debate about immigration reform. And the point that the lady was making, you know, we need to know who's here. We need to know, you know, whether among them there are some people that we don't want them here. We need that. We need to go through those through that process. But I think the rhetoric that you hear from Ludovs that, you know, people are here bringing sicknesses and some people obviously are buying to that, that's really troubling because this is about trying to reform the system. And progressives, I wanna make a plea to them to please speak up. The silent majority speak up and tell your Congress members that we need to fix this and we need to fix this now.
Well, it all may come down today in the U.S. Senate. Vanessa Cardenas at the Center for American Progress in Washington, thank you very much for being with us this hour.
Thank you.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.